And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our very first segment, if all goes well, because it is live radio, Lee Strobel, best-selling author and award-winning investigative reporter, joins us live to talk about the new movie, The Case for Christ. Wow. Unbelievable. Multiple millions of that book sold. Now a movie. What a testimony. Also, we'll look at our DDD called There, But Not Really There. And then we'll wind it down towards the end when we look at The Legalist. No, it's not The Mentalist. It's just The Legalist. And close it all out with today's Facebook post, Geography First.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then, David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Oh, did I tell you Lee Strobel's going to be on? Oh, maybe I did. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Got to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. There are strong warnings to residents from state and local officials as a strengthening Hurricane Harvey approaches the American Gulf Coast from Texas to Louisiana. San Antonio Mayor Ron Nirenberg says anyone who doesn't have to travel should stay home and make sure they have the necessary supplies.
We just received an update from the National Weather Service, and they are telling us that the storm has the potential, and I want to stress potential, things do change, to be a weather event that we talk about for years to come.
Corpus Christi Mayor Joe McComb says with the storm surge expected to reach 10 feet, he's recommending residents evacuate while they still can.
At a 10-foot water height, you're going to be cut off from the island. And there's a good chance if you've got that much water, you're not going to have any electricity. So you'll be on an island with no electricity, no air conditioning, no water, no anything.
The National Hurricane Center says winds of 125 miles an hour are expected as Hurricane Harvey approaches the Texas coast. The hurricane is expected to make landfall in Texas on Friday night or early Saturday, then stall near the middle Texas coast through the weekend. The White House says President Trump is expecting his border wall to get funding through Congress.
Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says the president wants lawmakers to include funding for a border wall in the budget.
He campaigned on the wall. He won on talking about building a wall. And he's going to make sure that that gets done. And he'll continue to fight for that funding and ensure that it takes place.
During the campaign, Donald Trump vowed that Mexico, not the U.S., would pay for the wall. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke announced today he won't seek to rescind any national monuments carved from the Wilderness and Oceans by past presidents. But he said he will press for some boundary changes and left open the possibility of allowing drilling, mining, or other industries on the sites. On Wall Street, the Dow by 29 points. This is SRN News.
AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
All right, it's David James. My friend, Sue Freeze, the termite lady from Ecola, is here. And Sue, you were just telling me that allergies and termites have something in common?
Dave, if you have a problem with termites in your home, but also suffer from allergies and chemical sensitivity, we offer an array of termite control services that will be able to solve your problem without putting your health at risk. Our Ecola heat process uses extreme heat instead of chemicals to kill and remove termites and any other pests that may be infesting your home.
Yes, and you were telling me about the awesome electro gun treatments. It sends electricity through the wood, and you use it as part of your termite control services?
They're very effective. So if you are concerned with your health and are sensitive to chemicals, know that we have an array of options for termite control.
Don't sacrifice your health or the health of your home. Call Ecola Termite Pest Control Services now. 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
You live in a nice neighborhood or condominium community, but that isn't enough. You need to know your board and community manager are making the right decisions to protect your investment. Community Associations Institute can help. Visit responsiblecommunities.com to learn more.
Look out. Is this another real estate bubble? Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. The answer? I don't know. No one really knows. But here's what we do know. Home prices go up and home prices go down. We also know that right now, home prices are way up. This could be a great time to cash in and get top dollar for your home. If you're considering selling and want to know what your home is really worth, call me now. There's no cost or obligation. I'll come out and give you a real home pricing evaluation. You don't have to hire me. Just give me a chance to earn your business. Or maybe you know someone considering a move. Send them my way. I'm a brother in Christ, and I always donate to ministry at closing on behalf of my K-Praise clients. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com is the email. If you don't know what email is, they've invented dirt. Okay, good. All right, here we go. So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity. From authors and from actors and musicians, we are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey, this book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just we got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here.
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? She said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
All right, let me ask you this, because I don't know if I've ever heard anybody who's interviewed you ask you this question, but you have a legal background and you have a journalistic background, both very noble if done well. Which one did you like more?
Wow, that's a great question. I enjoyed each of them in their unique ways. I mean, I'm a writer. I enjoy writing. Nothing is more fun to me than sitting alone in my office and trying to craft a sentence. On the other hand, the movie experience was such an eye-opener. It's such a collective experience. It's such a group experience. You know, you bring together this team, and they do this project very intensely over a period of many months, and then they disband, and never will the same team come together again for anything else. It's always going to be a probably slightly different team next time. So that was a lot of fun. We got to be on the set, and you know, be there when my life was, you know, I could watch it come alive in front of me. It was a pretty bizarre experience.
So this movie, now this book has been turned to a movie. You have millions of copies that have been sold worldwide. It goes into a movie, and I was looking, it's not to give you a plug, but dude, this is being sold everywhere. I mean, yeah. Everywhere. It's like, what do you mean? It's over there at Frank's Cider Mill. What do you mean it's over there at Frank's Cider Mill? So anyway, this is everywhere. This movie has got a message. It's got a message for unbelievers, got a message for believers. Talk to us about what you're hoping the message for unbelievers is. Let's talk about that first. What are you trying to say to somebody who doesn't know Jesus?
Well, I hope that, first of all, they're entertained by the movie, but also that, you know, they respond to the message, which is that it is worth our time, it is worth our effort to investigate whether historically the evidence points toward or away from Christianity. And I hope it encourages a lot of people who are spiritually skeptical to do their own investigation, check it out themselves. You know, the thing that's unique about Christianity among world religions is that it invites investigation. The Apostle Paul said, hey, look, if the resurrection is not an actual historical event, then you are fully justified in walking away from the faith. So that's a big challenge, and it invites people to use their discernment, use their investigative skills to check out these historical questions. Did Jesus live? Did he die? And was he reliably encountered afterwards? Those are historical questions that can be checked out.
Yeah, that's a great point. I never heard it phrased that way, so I really like that, and I'm going to steal it and not pay you for it, but it's a great one, so I really enjoy that. Although you got it from Paul, so I'm going to have to take it back a step. All right, so that's the message for unbelievers. Now you have a whole host of believers who are listening right now. What's the message to them who are already believers? Are going to go, they're either going to, most likely they're going to purchase this movie, get together with the family or get together with friends, watch this, maybe even make church events out of it, which is what we're kind of hoping they'll do. What is the message you're hoping to get to them?
I think a couple things. One is, you know, allow this to deepen your faith. We need to understand not just what we believe, but why we believe it. Why? Well, because we live in an increasingly skeptical culture, and people are going to ask us questions, they're going to express hesitations and doubts about our faith. And, you know, 1 Peter 3:15 says we all ought to be prepared to engage with people and to give them reasons why we believe what we believe. So I hope the film helps in that respect. But I hope also it encourages people to take a risk. And by that I mean not just to show the movie to believers, but to show it and invite people over for popcorn and so forth who are spiritually curious, who may not be Christians. And then have a conversation afterwards where you talk about, you know, what did you think? What was your favorite scene? What character could you relate to? And who knows what kind of spiritual conversation that might be opened up.
Yeah, great point that might create opportunities to share. And again, you're not telling people you got to be Billy Graham. You're telling people, hey, just open up that opportunity. The Holy Spirit does an excellent job of working these things out.
It becomes an easy way to do it. You know, I'll give you an example. Last night, my wife Leslie and I went to a restaurant, had a nice meal, got to know the waiter a bit, real nice guy named David. And at the end, I said, hey, do you ever watch movies? He said, yeah. I said, do you ever see the TV show Parenthood? He said, yeah. I said, well, you know, Erica Christensen, who's in Parenthood, is also in this movie and plays my wife. And why don't I give you a copy of this movie and see what you think? He said, oh, man, I'd love that. So who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. I hope he watches it. But I've been, you know, the day that this DVD came out, I went down to Kmart and I bought 10 copies. And I've been passing them out just to people I've been encountering, just like spreading seed out there to see if I get the gospel into people's heads.
That's a great idea. And people are very, very rarely will they go, no, it's like it's a movie. Yeah, sure, I'll watch it. All right, I got a kind of a complex question. It does come off of their questions that they listed, which I thus far haven't really used. But the notion that in this movie there's that complication element in regards to your father, why that's important is our first hour of this show, we did an entire hour on that tension of relationship between a father and a son, and then carrying that into an image attached to God. So we just did an hour of that. And I didn't even realize it as I was – that one question jumps out, and I'm like, wait, we just did this. So talk to me about that. Talk to me about the complication of that relationship with your dad.
Yeah, I'm glad you've done something on that because, you know, when you look at the famous atheists of history, Camus, Sartre, Nietzsche, Freud, Voltaire, Wells, Feuerbach, Madeleine Murray O'Hare, every single one of them had a dad who either died when they were young or with whom they had a very difficult relationship or who abandoned their family when they were young. And as you say, the implication is, why would you want to know a heavenly father if your earthly father has disappointed or hurt you? And in my particular case, I had a very difficult relationship with my dad, and that's portrayed in the movie. The scene that got cut from the movie is when my dad and I had a big argument on my high school graduation, the eve of my high school graduation, where he looked at me and said, "I don't have enough love for you to fill my little finger." And, you know, that was kind of a moment. I turned around, I walked out, never intending to return home again. And so we had a very difficult relationship, and that's in the film. And I think it's fairly common for people to have that kind of tension, and they may not be aware of how it can be a psychological barrier to the gospel.
Yeah, I think that people carry that in, and that's one of the things that we discussed is the parenting or a person in authority, you know, in that one arena, you could have a great deal of difficulty. You maybe indirectly attribute that to God, forgetting that he's the perfect parent, and then that keeps that opening for the enemy to use against a person when they're in doubt in that arena, and to use it against the person so that they'll stay distant from God as opposed to closing that gap. So that's
well, you know, C.S. Lewis had an interesting comment in that. He said, how do you get beyond that? If you've had a difficult relationship with your dad, and how do you get beyond that? He said, the way to do it is to imagine what a perfect father would be like. A perfect father would be loving, he'd be accepting, he'd be encouraging, he'd be your cheerleader, he'd be, and you just come up with all these descriptions of what the perfect father would be like, and they say, now, that is God. None of us has a perfect father, but that is the perfect father. And he's different than our earthly father.
Yeah, excellent, excellent point. And I just want people to know, you can get The Case for Christ, Walmart, Target, Frank Cider Mill, wherever you're going, you can get anywhere you can get it. This is an amazing, amazing story. If you're a believer, and if you're a person who's listening, and we have quite a few of them that are like, I don't know. Perfect. Pick up the movie. If you don't like it and you don't think it's good, send me the bill and I'll pay you for it. So you won't have any dollar cost. It's just that simple. All right, Lee, fantastic interview. You're absolutely awesome. Any project you got going on, you let our people know here. We'll get you on the air so you can promote it because we stand behind our brothers and sisters advancing the kingdom of God. Great job.
Well, thank you, Dave. Great talking with you. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Really appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back for more. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the importance of respect with regard to civil discourse.
For the most part, how this nation has survived for over 240 years is that we've learned to get along because we've respected one another. I don't agree with people on the left. I don't hate them. I don't think they should be silenced. I think they have every right to speak. We should have, you know, debates, if you will, civil debates. That's normal. A debate doesn't mean you yell and scream. It means that you thoughtfully go through and you present the facts and you make your case. I mean, that's how people get along. That's how people reach consensus. But what we've seen increasingly in this country is we've seen those They do not want that discussion. And I think it's because their views and their positions really cannot be defended.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Serve God by serving others.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Dave Brannan. Dave writes, "My friend Jaime works for a huge international corporation. In his early days with the company, a man came by his desk, struck up a conversation, and asked Jaime what he did there. After telling the man about his work, Jaime asked the man his name. 'My name is Rich,' he replied. 'Nice to meet you,' Jaime answered. 'And what do you do around here?' 'Oh, I'm the owner.' Jaime suddenly realized that this casual, humble conversation was his introduction to one of the richest men in the world. In this day of self-glorification and the celebration of me, this little story can serve as a reminder of Paul's important words in the book of Philippians. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. People who turn their attention to others and not on themselves have the characteristics Paul mentions. When we value others above ourselves, we demonstrate Christ-like humility. We mirror Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. When we take the very nature of a servant, we have the mindset of Jesus. As we interact with others today, let's not look on our own interests alone, but also to the interests of others." Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier. With Our Daily Bread, download the mobile app for your Apple or Android device at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. That, my friends, is one of the reasons that I like doing Christian radio. That right there. Having a chance to talk to Lee Strobel, you know, the gentleman who wrote The Case for Christ. He wrote it, was released in 1998 in September, September 1st. I only know that because that's my mom's birthday. Amazing. Amazing. And that is a great tool to witness with if you purchase that movie. This is not just for him to sell movies. I guarantee you he's taken a big chunk load of all that dough and doing kingdom work with it. But that's a great opportunity to get a movie like that and give it to somebody who you're kind of like not sure. Say, hey, check this movie out. Let me know what you think. What a great witnessing tool, because they did design it around the level of entertainment. So it's not something that you would give that would be kind of like a bummer, you know, which is like some movies you can give are like, okay, talking puppets. All right. Anyhow, let's get into our very next segment, which is a DDD called There, But Not Really There. And this is important for people who dance around faith or quote people of faith or quote the book but don't know the author kind of mentality. Here we go. John chapter 5, verse 45 through 47. Jesus saying, "Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, in whom you have put your hope. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say?" At this point in the minds of the children of Israel, of the people of God, there are a few people that are in that top five list. Adam has to be in everybody's top five list, only in the context that he was the first. You always give props to the first. It's just what we do. Abraham was enormous in the kingdom of God. King David was just enormous, enormous in the kingdom of God. And Moses was enormous in the kingdom of God. You've got in the personalities of people with Abraham, you have this man of faith. In Moses, you have what many would call the man of law, still both extremely obedient. And in David, King David, you have law with faith mixed together in a connection to God that is, you know, fantastic. All of us wish we could have that kind of connection with the Lord. It'd be wonderful. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they're having this back and forth. And Jesus tells people, you know, I'm not the one that's going to put things at your doorstep that say you're off. Moses is going to be the one that really, the law that he wrote in, and he wrote about me, and you're ignoring him. That's going to be a problem you're going to have, because Moses' own words are going to come back at you. Now, Moses was, in fact, a great man of God. He was a great, great man of God, but Moses was not God. Now, that's a big difference. In fact, King David was not God. Abraham was not God. Jesus is God. So the difference here is you've got somebody who is a part of the family, so to speak, one of the big brothers, and then you've got the parenting element where Jesus is in. And it's like, wow, as great as Mo was, he was not God. And here Jesus says something that's really interesting. He says, your accuser is Moses, in whom you have put your hope. I gotta make a social commentary here. I don't have a choice. People put hope in big people with big names all the time. People have this hope process of great people, and they believe those people will lead them to the promised land. And while Moses was in charge of Israel, from a human point of view, it was God that told them what steps to take, what direction to go, where the promised land was, who made the promised land, who freed them from the Egyptians in the first place, who brought them through with miracle after miracle. While Moses was a vessel, God was the essence of the power that took place. Moses was a tool or a vehicle. But God is the engine, the gasoline, the speed, everything that turns the ignition. And unfortunately, too many people put too much hope in too many people. There are people out there that put their hope in pastors, in evangelists, in teachers, in TV people. It's amazing how many people are so inspired watching wealthy people in reality television who have nothing to do with their lives, and how their big trouble is they can't figure out what a Circle K is or a Kmart is. And everybody's like, ooh, it's so fantastic to watch. It's like, it is? What's wrong with us? We're putting hope in big people all the time, spiritual hope and otherwise, and it's not going to work. Because God is true and every man is a liar. And that's not to the segregation of women. That includes all of humanity. And then Jesus says, look, you know, Mo testified to me. And this is a guy that you're claiming that you honor. You're saying you honor, but you don't even believe what this guy wrote. You're saying that you're linked to Moses. You're not even believing what Moses has to say. I got a message for you. That's why I'm bringing this up. Because the title is there, but not really there, because this is what happens to people today. They make this incredible proclamation or link to Jesus, but they don't even believe what he has to say. They don't even think what he has to say really matters. They just say, well, I'm connected to Jesus. Jesus is my judge. Jesus is my jury. I have no idea what he said, but that's how it goes. It's like, are you serious? You're not connected to Jesus. Most people wouldn't know Jesus who make that proclamation if Jesus came up and smacked them on the back of the head. The people back then weren't saved because they, you know, didn't process or believe God. The Pharisees weren't saved just because they said they know who Moses was. And the people who say, I know who Jesus is, but have no relationship with Jesus, they're not saved either. This isn't brilliance. This doesn't take I'd have to be a professor with so many degrees, they call me Dr. Fahrenheit. No. If you don't know who Jesus is and you know of Jesus, that's fantastic. You're not saved. Period. And Jesus calls these guys on the carpet for that. How much more is it true today than it was when Jesus said something to the Pharisees? Same thing, isn't it? Yep. Not saved then, not saved now. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back with our next DDD. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, I will never believe your God and change my religion. But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
A Kentucky church is embracing solar power as a means to help the community and reduce their carbon footprint. This is truth itself. Campton Baptist Church has installed 80 solar panels on the roof of the church, a project sponsored and installed by Sunlight Power, an Ohio-based nonprofit that provides renewable electricity to communities worldwide. Campton's pastor, Gary Connor, sees the project as a way to invest in the community. Connor hopes the solar panels will contribute to educational opportunities in the community, for science classes to take the opportunity to learn about solar energy and observe it firsthand at Campton Baptist. He's also excited to engage the Eastern Kentucky community by sending a message that Campton Baptist takes conservation seriously. And the church desires not only to save on their utility bill, but also put those savings into missions and ministry. The system, which generates 22,000 watts of power, will aid the surrounding community as well. When the church is not using the power, the solar energy will go back into the grid. Over the course of 40 years, the church expects a savings of $120,000. They plan to install a geothermal unit for heating and air conditioning in the future. In addition, the church hopes that by spreading awareness of the use of solar power, more of the generally coal-powered community will take notice, and eventually jobs in solar power will be created in the area. More than 20 years ago, a group of Christian pioneers partnered in a bold new approach to health care based on principles found in God's Word. They called it MediShare. Today, with over 200,000 members, it's a national community of believers who love God and share each other's medical expenses. And it's half the cost of insurance. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable, biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Open Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. That was a lot of fun. I really got to tell you, doing that interview with Lee Strobel just reminded me of things in the past. You know, The Case for Christ is a fantastic book. There's somewhere between 6 and 10 million copies. I think it's more 10 million with all of the extra books because he did different series on The Case for and The Case for. But, man, doing a movie on that, just so cool. What a blessing. All right, so we just spent a little bit of time talking about there, but not really there. And that's people that try and make associations to big people, major people. In the particular case we were talking about, it was the Pharisees trying to make an association to Moses, even though they had no belief in what Moses said. Moses writing about Jesus, and these people just completely ignoring what he had to say. So Jesus was using that illustration. We use that same illustration to point out there's too many people that point to Jesus like they're connected to him. He's my judge. He's my jury. All I do is answer to him, but I don't know a single thing he's ever said. Oh, I read the Bible when I was 4. You know, that just, it doesn't work. Most people aren't any more saved with an active faith. Just because they know of Jesus does not bring salvation into play. And that's fair. That's a reality check. Now we're going to take kind of a turn in that approach, and we're going to look at something which I think you'll find is going to be a little challenging theologically, and we're going to look at the legalists. So first we talk about the fact that Jesus recognized they didn't catch it, they didn't get it, they were putting their hope in big names but not in anything that has divine origin. Now I want to talk to you about the Pharisees having an encounter with Jesus just a little bit later, and how this is a legalistic moment that Jesus tries to communicate again about his deity and again about his position and again how they're missing what God's heart is. Again, called the legalist. Let's see, that's three agains in 2 minutes or two sentences. John chapter 9, verse 13 through 16. Here's what it says. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened his eyes was a Sabbath. So the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. The man answered, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed, and now I can see." Because of this, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man perform such signs?" And there was division among them. I was doing a study late last week, on the Sabbath, and it is an interesting element that the Sabbath, which is referenced in Genesis 2, I think it's 2:5, is not then again referenced until Moses, which means the rest of Genesis didn't really walk in the process of a Sabbath. Adam didn't walk in the process of the Sabbath. Abraham did not. Isaac did not. Jacob did not. You can say all the things you want to say, but it's not there. And it comes really, it goes from chapter 1 and 2 in Genesis all the way over to Moses. I think that's kind of a fascinating element in and of itself. But here is an important process. The Ten Commandments are important. They're not suggestions, they're commands, right? And the summation of the commands are basic towards God and towards ourselves and towards one another. The Sabbath doesn't help God rest. It helps us rest. And God doesn't need, he's not tired in the sense of, "Oh, I'm tired, I got to take a break, I'm taking a nap." You see what I'm saying? So it's good for us and it's helpful. But Jesus made it clear that the purpose of the Sabbath was for man's benefit more than any other element. The New Testament defines its purpose and its point. But sometimes you can get so caught up in the law that you miss the lawgiver. You can get so caught up in the work of the Lord that you forget the Lord of the work. So Jesus does a miracle. Now, miracles, by definition, which anybody in this range would have said, miracles come from God. Miracles are a breach of the normal. They are a break of what we would call the laws of physics, the laws that we are governed by, whether it be gravity or any of those other elements. Jesus walking on water is a breach of the laws that we function under. They are miracles. That's why they're called miracles, because they are a break from what we understand as is doable or fallible. The law of gravity should have brought Jesus down into the water. It didn't, because he was beyond the law of gravity. The laws of physics should not allow somebody to have a restoration of a blind eye. But that didn't matter, because Jesus was greater than the law of physics and the law of, you know, of humanity and of growth and of evolution. Jesus is greater than all of that. And miracles come from God. The problem the Pharisees were having, Jesus did this miracle, but he didn't keep the Sabbath. You see, they were so fixated on the letter of the law, they were missing that someone greater than the law was there. And I get concerned that I do it. I think a lot of us do it. This is not a promotion of people that have tent meetings or big church meetings and people gather in for a show. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I don't care about that stuff. That stuff doesn't interest me. What interests me is when God does a miracle, and it's a miracle from God, there is some communication from God. And in this case, Jesus was performing these miracles, and he was making declarations and teachings, and those new teachings, that new process became part of our new covenant, our new engagement with God. And Jesus did this because he is God. The legalists do not know God. They know the rules from God, but again, they have no relationship, and these miracles are triumphing their process of the law. Well, why is that important? Because we can get so caught up in the law that we forget the Lord. And it's like, that's what you got to watch. You can get so legalistic in the faith. We can be so legalistic in the faith that if we were there at that time and Jesus had broke the Sabbath, you have to ask yourself, would you have said, well, dude, you can't break the Sabbath? Or would we have went, wow? Which would you have done? See, I think there's times I would have said, wow, and I think there's other times I would have said, but you shouldn't have done that on the Sabbath. That's the legalistic part of me. That's where I know the rules, but I'm not following God in relationship. I don't care how much you know. I'm caring, I guess, I'm caring about who you know. I think God's the best teacher ever in the universe, ever in any capacity. But if you're not being taught by him at all, and the only thing you're getting taught by is other people or other letters, it's like, no, you gotta know the author, not just the book. Because the book points to the author. And miracles, those are just cool. I don't know what that's. It's cool to see that the Lord does stuff. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 43, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and a sense of awe came over everyone, and the apostles performed many wonders and signs. Cool! And sometimes those wonders and signs, they don't quite follow the way things are supposed to be followed. Remember Jesus in the very beginning, the very first person that Jesus ever touched in all the Gospels was the leper. He's not supposed to touch the leper. That's against the law. Jesus didn't care. Well, he's supposed to follow the law. He touched him. But that's not followed. He touched him. And he healed him. I think that was a pretty strong statement from the Lord. Going, I'm the Lord, and we're going to have compassion right here, and this is how we're going to do it. But you didn't follow the letter of the law. That's because if you don't find the spirit in the law, you don't get the law.
the law is beyond you. You misunderstand it. Don't be a legalist. I don't want to be a legalist. Pray for me not to be a legalist. You don't be a legalist. Let's not do that. I don't care if you're in a Baptist church or Pentecost. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if it's, you know, what your take is on the charismata. I don't care. Let's not be legalistic. God wants to do something, he'll do it. And let's just do this. Wow. Not come back on Monday. How about that? That's a good approach. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back with our Facebook post. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. Some years ago, I met with some Christian leaders when looking to fill a significant Christian ministry position. During our meeting, I realized that each candidate's father was a prominent pastor. Each one had the advantage of growing up in a family that daily taught and lived out biblical truth. That illustrates the enormous impact a Christian heritage can have. It's not just fathers who influence their children toward righteousness. Godly mothers also have a great opportunity to do the same. It was Timothy, you remember, who benefited from such a spiritual heritage by way of his mother. His mother and grandmother gave him a wealth of biblical knowledge that was crucial to his development, to his life and ministry. If you're a parent, take the opportunity God has given you to so influence your children. This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
This is Dennis Prager for townhall.com. On Wednesday night last week, I had the privilege of serving as guest conductor of the Santa Monica Symphony Orchestra at the Walt Disney Concert Hall in Los Angeles. It was particularly sweet because of the efforts by many who worked against me. Members of the orchestra and Santa Monica political leaders tried to persuade orchestra members to refuse to play and persuade people to refuse to attend the concert. Two symphony members, who were also UCLA professors, put out a public letter labeling my positions horribly bigoted. They were helped by the New York Times, NPR, and the LA Times. But I'm pleased to say, on Wednesday night, the 2,200-seat hall was sold out. So how was intolerance defeated? First, to be honest, they picked a fight with a fighter. Second, I didn't fight alone. It seemed like the entire conservative world united behind me. And third, when people learned what was happening, conservatives helped fill the hole. This time, the good guys won. I'm Dennis Prager.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to remind you, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com is an excellent way to go about that. Also, don't forget KPRZ. We have our Facebook page, which has inspirational pictures and scriptures on it, which it's good to read Facebook and have something that's uplifting and not just something that pokes you in the eye. And I heard something the other day, and people might respond to this a little weirdly, but I heard a whole group of people have decided that they're going to basically remove themselves from Twitter because they don't want to have as many people freaking out and saying all these weird and bad things against them. So they've pulled themselves off of Twitter. I would say if you are in any social media, and that social media grieves your spirit in any way, why would you continue to put that into your system? That's pretty much like eating the leftover Chinese from 5 weeks ago. Why would you do that? Get new Chinese, get, you know what I'm saying, get a newer. Don't eat stuff that's going to hurt you. Why would you? Why? And so I've decided that from a Twitter point of view, if the people aren't people that are either of like-minded or have something to say that's beneficial, even if they disagree, that's fine. Disagreement is not bad. It's how somebody disagrees. And I'm just going to try and do a better job of being more productive and promoting things in a better spirit. And I'm going to participate less in anything that is negative. I'm just going to kind of pull away from it. Not positive thinking. It's just like, why wash myself with any more filth than is already out there? There's no reason I need to do that. Okay, got that off me. Let's go into our Facebook post. This is kind of an interesting one. We talked yesterday a little bit about direction in the first hour of the show. I want to utilize a small piece that I was able to share with our very own Kevin Davis quite some time ago. Had a chance to talk to him not that long ago, and he's doing well. Would appreciate your continued prayers. But this one is entitled Geography First. Geography First. I'm going to tell you how this came about before I get to the scripture. And if it's applicable to you, great. And if not, don't worry about it. So I was at, 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, I was at a crossroad in my life. A crossroad means you can go a couple different directions. You can go left, you can go right, or you can go straight ahead, you know, whatever the case may be. Of course, you're not supposed to turn to the left or right, but go straight ahead. But in this case, it was really more of a left or a right, which way was I going to go, so on. And before I made that decision, I was studying in the scripture, and I realized that from Abraham, and actually earlier than Abraham, but he's the one that I isolated on, but from Abraham on, when the Lord wanted to do certain things to through certain people, he brought them to certain places and then did those things. In other words, Abraham was told by God to leave the place where he was and to go to a land that he had not yet seen, and that God was going to do these marvelous things in his life and fulfill these wonderful promises in his life. And it dawned on me that for people that are seeking direction, geography is one of the first things that you must settle into in order to know what the task is at hand. Now, if your task is advancing the gospel, even in the book of Acts, you find out that the places they went were specific to the Lord's plans. Geography always plays a big part of this process. But if you are trying to determine what it is you are supposed to do, I would say to you as a friend, not as a teacher, not as anything else, not as a pastor or anything like that, because I'm not a pastor. I would just simply say to you, make sure you're in the right location first, or make sure you're in the right place first. It seems like finding what the Lord would want you to do would become easier if you're starting off in the location he wants to be in. And this comes out of Acts chapter 9, verse 6. And this is what was told to Saul before he became Paul. It says, "But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." And this is after he gets knocked off the donkey. He got knocked off the donkey. He fell on the ground after the Lord knocked him on the ground. Oh, but Jesus is always nice. Yeah, sometimes he knocks you on the ground. And he was told, get up, go to this city, and then I'm going to tell you what to do. So it appears in my mind, I think, well, for some, you are in the right place, and that's not what's at issue, and you just need to continue to find out what it is the Lord wants you to do. And if the Lord hasn't given you anything to do, then you do the best you can or do what you're supposed to keep doing until he gives you something specific to do. But if you're not sure and you're in the right place, that then becomes the passion, to make sure you're in the right location. Because it was told to Saul before he became Paul to get into the city. And once he was in the city, then the Lord was going to tell him what to do. So it seems to me, from a practical point of view, that we certainly need to be in the right place so we can be about the right thing. Again, this has no application to you if you're already in the right place. No problem. Fantastic. But for those that are trying to find what the Lord wants, I'm just simply saying, take a review on Acts 9:6 and make sure you're in the right place first. This really came about because Kevin Davis and I were talking, and Kevin was like, I really think that I need to be in this different place. And once he got there, it was one miracle after another to confirm what he was supposed to be about, and what he was supposed to be doing. I just think that's encouraging for people to be aware of, okay? Geography first is not a bad idea. Okay, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
And now, your Pathway Minute with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
What's to keep somebody from trusting in Christ, getting their free ticket to heaven, and then going out and living like the devil, living however they want to? What's to keep me from going out and sinning as much as I want to after I'm saved? The fact is, after I'm saved, my want to's change, okay? It's not that I don't sin any longer. It's just I don't enjoy it nearly as much as I did before I was saved. You know, the fact is Christians do mess up from time to time. They do stumble from time to time. But 1 John...